V času medvladja se pojavi kopica morbidnih sindromov. Od nevarnih parazitov,
ljubljanske močvirnike,
do klimatskih sprememb in vremenske občutljivosti.
Ker je november. November je, ne?
Se sredstvo ne da nekako
prekrati. Ne da se delati. November je.
Pa vse od poškod, posebnosti in lastnine.
In videl bo, kako moja testo žde po gobcu.
Do težav z obtočili in kanalizacijo.
Verjetno ni držal roke gor, da bi vas vprašal, ali ne na WC, ampak zato, ker je htel obrazložiti glas.
Terenoskopija. Oddaja, kjer preiskujemo lokalne izbruhe, vnetja, kronične in akutne težave z izbruhi po celem družbenem tkivu.
Spoštovano poslušalstvo, poslušate Radio Študent na 89,3 MHz. Z vami sva Lana in Antun in Terenoskopija. Terenoskopija je terenska oddaja, nova terenska oddaja, to je druga edicija aktualno-politične redakcije Radija Študent. V prvi oddaji je kolega Zupan šel do daljnega Bežigrada, kjer je pripravljal oddajo o akademskem kolegiju. Tokrat smo šli nekoliko dlje, šli smo prek meje v Benetke.
V Benetke smo šli predvsem, da bi ugotovili, kaj je bil cilj benečanskega protesta Mino Vadovija, s katerim so benečani upozarjali na vse večjo problematičnost masovnega turizma. Tega protesta se je, mislim, da konc junija udeležilo okoli 2000 ljudi. Opozarjali so pa predvsem na nemogoče razmere, v katerih so prisiljeni živeti zaradi vse višjih cen najemnin in pač vse večjega turizma.
To je bil zdaj pač povod, ker je najbolj aktualna zadeva, drugač vsak, ki je bil v Benetkah, se zaveda težave, kakšen pritisk na infrastrukturo, na domače prebivalstvo predstavljajo te turisti. Zato smo se mi trije, torej Lana in Antun, ki sva z vami, in pa Martin, odpravili v Benetke in kot pravi enodnevni turisti prišli tam, parkirali avto in preživeli dan, kjer nismo preveč zapravili, kakor bi mogoče želeli, ampak ja. Nismo bili avtentični turisti, kot bi temu rekla naša prva gosta, s katerima sva se srečala, ki upravljata turistično organizacijo Venecija Autentica.
I'm Sebastian Fagarazzi, I'm the co-founder of Venezia Autentica and I'm the funny one.
And I'm Valeria Giuflo.
That wasn't a protest against the tourists, okay? That was a protest that people were doing. They were saying, I'm not going anywhere, basically. And they were making requests to the city. So they were requesting, like, we want to have a house. We want to have goods and services, which are, like, for residents. We want to stop seeing the change of the buildings. You have lots of buildings, which are public buildings, which are being sold and turned into hotels. Okay, and then the public functions brought to the mainland.
V zadnjih 60-ih letih se je število prebivalcev zmanjšalo tam od nekje 175 tisoč na 55 tisoč, se pravi za več kot polovico.
Zdaj, da je jasno, govorimo o Benetkah, o tem starem delu Benetih, o otokih, ta turistični del, ki ga pač vsi poznamo, ne govorimo tukaj o celini, pač o kraju Mestre.
Ki sta pa sicer upravno en del.
Upravno, ja, delita si župana, tako da, ja, statistično upravno sta eno.
Se pravi, ja, kot že prej povedano, ljudje se izseljujejo iz mesta, predvsem tudi zaradi tega, ker si ne morejo več privoščiti ne samo najemnin za življenje, ampak tudi najemnin za trgovine, v katerih prodajajo neke te svoje avtentične izdelke.
Venice had in 1951 175,000 inhabitants. As of now, 2017, we're getting close to going below 55,000. So it's 55,100 people. That's how many we are. So we lost 70% of our inhabitants in the past 65 years, and it's not seeming like it's going to stop. It is getting worse. The problem here is the fact that, especially in the past 10 years, people have been losing their jobs, their activities. Venice has been a city of traders, of merchants, of shop owners. And now, since especially the past 10 years, people are losing their shops, they're losing the job. The moment you lose your shop, you leave the city because you have no income to provide for your family to stay in the city. You're going to go out and look for something else.
Torej, kot sta naša prva dva sogovorca poudarila, gre za neko specifiko, ki se ne pojavlja toliko v drugih mestih, ki so, ki imajo takšen pritisk turistov, gre za ta stari del Benetk, gre nekako za, večinoma so se ljudje ukvarjali s trgovino, ker je seveda še izhaja iz preteklosti, zdaj pa ta število turistov pač nenehno narašča. In samo če povemo v številki najbolj ponazorimo to, se pravi mesto, ki ima 55, približno 55 tisoč prebivalcev, na leto sprejme 33 milijonov turistov, kar je nekako dvojno ali še več kot dvojno, kot je bilo v nedavni raziskavi oziroma nedavni študiji postavljeno kot nek maksimum, ki ga lahko mesto sprejme, da ne bi prihajalo do, kako ne temu rečemo, poškodov.
Prevelike škode in infrastrukturi, se pravi čist okoljske škode, hkrati pa tudi, da ni ogroženo avtentično življenje v mestu. Mislim, neka taka normalna.
To nam bo sedaj pojasnila naša naslednja sogovornica, ki je priseljenka in profesorica v Benetkah.
My name is Barbara Warburton-Giliberti. I teach English at Kafoskeri University here in Venice. Now there are 54,000 residents and we have 33 million tourists per year. Some years ago, Kafoskeri, the university, did an investigation. How many tourists can Venice take per day? And they decided at the time it was 50,000. Now, on an average, we have 120,000 people per day, which is more than double the number of residents.
Prebivalci, ki se večinoma ukvarjajo, kot sem že prej povedala, z neko malo obrtjo, ne morajo več v tem času tekmovati s prodajalci poceni spominkov, preprosto zaradi tega, ker pač oni zaslužijo toliko več od njih. In ker ne morajo tekmovati z njimi, si ne morajo privoščiti več teh visokih najemnin, ki jih potem stanodajalci zahtevajo od njih.
Mogoče se zdi nekoliko tudi elitistično, s to besedo smo se doskrat sami spopadali, ko smo preiskovali o tem, ampak res nekako gre za ta specifičen način življenja v Benetkah in seveda treba z neko rezervo vzeti ta njihov občutek, da zdaj pa bojo prišli te ponavadi recimo tujci ali pa ljudje z celine in bojo prodajali
made in China izdelke.
Made in China, to je pač greh največji v Benetkah. Ampak pač dejansko efekt tega je, da nek prodajalec takšnih made in China, teh mask, ki jih potem masovno kupujejo turisti, pač zaslužek je večji, potem takem lahko tudi več ponudi na najemodajalcu za najemnino. Posledično se ta oseba, ki je prej prebivala tam, mora izseliti in spremeniti način življenja, kakor so to poudarili, ampak ja, neki je resnice, neki pa to treba imati z rezervo.
In the past there used to be rules as to prevent having one shop selling the same stuff as the other shop next to each other. Since they liberalized the market, unfortunately, shops that were producing elsewhere on an industrial basis, popped up. That was, I think, it started like the real, it was already probably 15 years ago, I think in the like early 2000 could have been, but it was especially after the crisis of 2007 that shops started closing, one, like the economical global crisis, that shops really, or 2008, that really you saw the Venetian shops struggling, being replaced by very cheap souvenir shops, an increase of mass tourism, which was the perfect target for those low quality, low price shops. As a consequence, when those shops thrive, it means they make money. When they make money, they go to the landlord and say, I can pay a higher rent than what the artisans pay. So on the main areas, the rents go high, go up, like went really up a lot. And that is what really puts the people out of business, because they can pay the rent.
Zdaj, višje najemnine, kakor smo rekli, potiskajo ven te majhne trgovce, rokodelce, kakor se izrazi ta naša sogovornika. Ampak razumljivo, seveda 33 milijonov turistov pomeni tudi pritisk na stanovanja Benetk, ki so omejena preprosto z majhno površino. In kakor smo rekli, iz tega mesta se je izselilo 80 tisoč, če rečemo približno prebivalcev. Kljub temu pa obstaja interes za ta stanovanja, seveda iz turističnega sektorja. In o tem smo se pogovarjali tudi z aktivistom v Benetkah, ki se ukvarja s kvoti, stanovanjsko problematiko in nasplošno z družbenimi težavami, s katerimi se soočajo prebivalci.
Tommaso Cacciari, and I'm part of the movement of social centers in Italy and northeast of Italy in particular.
Cacciari je v bistvu organizator te neke skupnosti skvotov. Mislim, da je skupno 75 skvotov.
Ja, Cacciari, zdaj z njim smo se srečali v okviru, dobili smo se z njim pred sestankom teh No Grandi Navi, ne velikih ladi, o kateri bomo še malo kasneje se dotaknili v prispevku, ampak ja, primarno smo se želeli z njim pogovarjati o stanovanski problematiki in pa skvotanju, ki pride s tem, ki je, moral bi reči, nekoliko presenetljivo tudi razširjeno v Benetkah, glede na ta videz, ki ga na zunaj daje samo mesto.
There are about 75 occupied apartments in Venice. They are all public apartments that are left empty by authorities.
V teh skvotih živijo precej različni ljudje, gre in za neke migrante in za družine in posameznike, ampak v skvotih predvsem živijo, ne uporabljajo jih toliko za neke druge namene.
Uporabljajo jih, vse tudi v izjavi povdar, da jih uporabljajo, ampak pač res se trudijo, da to, kar skvotajo, primarno to, kar so hiše, kar so stanovanja, so res hiše in stanovanja, ker živijo res ljudje, ki delajo v Benetkah in živijo tam. Potem pa imajo še neke posebne prostore, med drugim tudi na celini, kar se ne bomo tega zdaj dotikali, ki pač...
Ker so neki social centri za druženje in prirajanje koncertov, ampak te, ki so na otoku, so večinoma za stanovanje.
And so we started a movement that occupies these houses, and there are very different kind of people that are occupying these houses. There are families, Venetian families with children, there are young students, there are activists, there are migrants, there are people coming from outside that wants to live in Venice simply, and it's a very big movement. We started to occupy these houses in 1999. In the houses, we are very careful to use houses as houses. So we don't occupy a flat with 15 people. We occupy a flat with 2-3 family, one, and we live like a normal house. And so neighborhood, really, there is a big connection, no, with neighborhoods. To do parties, loud music, and things like that, we occupy other kind of spaces. One is the historical one, the one that I belong to, is just here. It's called Morion. It's occupied since 1990.
Kakor drugod po Evropi in seveda tudi pri nas doma, mestne oblasti in policija ne stojijo križem rok na te poskuse skvotanja. Prihaja tudi do nekih, nekih prisilnih izselitev oziroma poskusov le teh. Te so neuspešni oziroma vsaj do zdaj so bili neuspešni tudi zaradi specifične arhitekture samega starega mesta.
We always told the police and everybody we can talk about every kind of solution. Let's sit around the table and find the solutions. We are okay with this. But we will never go in the streets with the police, with eviction. We will never tolerate, I don't know, an eviction. Police tried to throw us away, but we always won. We won because of the urban conformity of Venice. I mean, it's a medieval city, so no trucks, no water cannons, very difficult tear gas. When a small road, you are 10 and 10. So we closed the streets with big plastic shields, helmets, and the police never reached to break in the house. Last fight was last summer. And even because neighborhoods are there is a big solidarity from the neighborhoods, because Venice housing problem in Venice is very much it's a very big problem for everybody, not just for young activists and things like that.
Te skvoti so večinoma javni objekti, gre za nekdanja stanovanja, gre za stanovanja, ki pa so bila zgrajena večinoma po drugi svetovni vojni v času neke bolj socialne blaginje oziroma pač bolj
industrijske rasti.
Industrijske rasti, tako, bolj z namenom priseljevanja prebivalstva v sama mesta, ki bi potem prinesla rast. Danes pač ta stanovanja zaradi nekih specifičnih razlogov, ki jih bomo tudi spoznali, pa večinoma samevajo.
The public apartments were useful to a past model of capitalism, where there was the big factories. Fordismo, I don't know how you say it, we call it Fordismo, I don't know, the big factories. And so the state gave to the big factories, you know, the streets, the railways, areas to build the factories and the public houses to make the working class sleep 8 hours, work 8 hours and do their own business for the rest of their 8 hours.
Ko so se pred koncu stoletja začeli neki te procesi liberalizacije in se je gospodarstvo začelo spreminjati, je vlada v bistvu ta stanovanja, mislim, skrb za ta stanovanja nekako pustila.
Prepustila trgu, če tako rečemo. Trg pa v Benetkah razumljivo ni bil pretirano naklonjen socialnim stanovanjem.
When the big model of Fordist capitalist fell down about at the end of the 70s, during the 80s and mostly in the 90s, and there is no more the fixed job for all the life in the factories, the state had no point in giving money to the public institution of the housing welfare. And so all these houses, and we're talking about hundreds of these houses just in the city of Venice, are simply left behind, are simply left out, left empty.
Javna stanovanja so torej prazna, prebivalci se selijo na celino.
Venice has real big popular parts of the city. Giudecca, here in Castello, Santa Marta, Saccafisola. There are lots of Canareggio, a lot.
lot of popular neighborhoods, public-owned neighborhoods, but simply empty because they don't have money. They don't have money because it's useless for this kind of capitalistic way of producing that people have a public house. And so a normal person, not a very poor person, but a normal person, is out from the private rents and out of the public houses. They just have to go away from Venice. And that's the reason why we passed from 172,000 residents, 172,000 residents in the 60s, and now we are 48,000. But every other city in the world has an outskirt. We don't have an outskirt. We have to change city. And without water, without boats, without our way of life, it's kind of even a kind of anthropological disaster going away from the city. There was a period that the state gave a lot of money for building public neighborhoods, for building public houses, for giving everybody a house. Obviously not for a socialist reason, but for a capitalistic reason, no? That the working class had to be quiet, had to be, no? And particularly in Venice, that was left-wing governed by for a lot of years after the war, they built communist PC, Communist Party, Partito Comunista Italiano, and they build a lot of these houses, and these houses are owned by public, I don't know, the ente. That was not interesting about the balance sheet.
Ta stanovanja, hiše, kakorkoli že, ki so pač bila zgrajena strani države kot socialna stanovanja, so potem, kot smo že rekli, ob tej liberalizaciji trga prišla pač na trg in posledično so tudi te državne firme, državni skladi, ki so upravljali s temi socialnimi stanovanji, so se naenkrat morali ravnati po tržnem načelu. Ni več veljalo, da lahko imajo izgubo, ker pač skrbijo za socialna vprašanja, za dobrobit meščanov. Tako da naenkrat je postalo bolj pomembno, koliko bodo prodali, koliko bodo zaslužili, kot koliko bodo dali dejansko prebivalcem, ki to potrebujejo, prebivalcem, domačinom.
In 1991, this thing broke up and said, okay, you are not more a public thing, but you are azienda territoriale, the institution that are running and owning the public houses in Italy. It's called ATER. ATER is acronym for azienda territoriale per l'edilizia residenziale. Cioè, azienda is a company, an enterprise, no? And so the main goal of an enterprise is not giving to the people something, a service, is closing the year with a positive balance sheet.
O stanovanski problematiki smo besedo ali dve spregovorili tudi z profesorjem ekonomije Giuseppem Tataro iz Beneške univerze.
We have 3,000 houses publicly owned, which are almost completely empty because of these owned by the company that is running for all the people, but they do not have the money to make restoration.
Zdaj sami kriteriji za pridobitev socialnih stanovanj so bili napisani pač v 60-ih, 70-ih, mogoče 80-ih, ki pač te kriteriji, nihče skoraj več ne more izpolnjevati teh kriterijev. Torej, kot nam bo pojasnil Kačari, če nimaš redne službe, Oziroma, če imaš redno službo, dobiš nekatere pike, če si poročen, imaš neke pike. Zdaj v času prekarizacije, liberalizacije trga, to postaja seveda vse težje, kakor pri nas tudi v Italiji.
If you look the things you need to give to have the points to get a public house, the criteria, I don't know how you say. I mean, if I ask it to the public, I want a house, you have to make a grid, no? And if you are, I don't know, sometimes worker, you have no points. If you have a full contract, like our fathers, you have 10 points. But nobody anymore has a full life contract. If you are married, you have 10 points. If you're not married, you have no points. If you have children, you have a lot of points. So they're kind of a picture of a society that was in the 60s, but there's nothing here anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. And so this kind of difference between the law and the reality makes this gap, where we're trying to change.
V resnici grejo te neustrezni kriteriji na roko podjetjem, ki imajo ta stanovanja v lasti, ker jim je potem lažje se znebiti nekih najemnikov, oziroma lažje je, ker ne potrebujejo pridobivati novih najemnikov.
Ko pa se znebiš najemnikov in šele, ko se znebiš vseh najemnikov v, recimo v bloku v Benetkah, lahko ta blok ponudijo tudi turistične namene.
Because they can sell them only when the whole block is empty, no? So they are leaving people to die, I don't know. And they have strategies to do this, obviously, no? Like if I don't fix the water things, no? And when you live with 2 centimeters of muffa black things on the wall, and if you have 80 years and you have some problems of bones, of breathing, at a certain time you say, okay, go away. Because your doctor says to go away. And so when we go in the houses, even we restore them, we refurnish them, no?
Tako se v bistvu prek stanovanjske problematike nekako vrnemo nazaj k masovnemu turizmu in tudi, kot bo v nadaljevanju pojasnil Kačari, se stanovanjska problematika direktno povezuje z masovnim turizmom.
The housing in Venice is one of its tourism and the housing problem is kind of two faces of the same map. Mass tourism is just throwing away residents in two ways.
Biti najemnik v Benetkah je pač vse težje z vsakim letom, z vsakim turistom več, ki prenoči v mestu, kajti, kot to poznamo tudi iz Ljubljane, zakaj bi oddajal nekemu najemniku čez celo leto, če pa lahko zaslužiš s turistom 100 evrov na noč, kar ti lahko prinese 3000 evrov na mesec namesto 900 evrov, katerih bi mogoče dobil od Benečana, ki tam živi in dela.
So if I private want to rent a house, I find very difficulties in finding a house for a residential rent. And two, prices are absolutely crazy. Not less than 900, 1,000, but really if you are lucky. If you have your brother, your friend, you can find a small house for 800. Go to a real estate agency and ask for a resident. I say, I want to stay here 1 year, 2 years. I found a job I want to stay here 2 years. They say, no, we don't have.
Še posebej v zadnjem času pojav Airbnbizacije izvaja nek dodaten pritisk na ta lokalna stanovanja. Prav tako pa ta stanovanja, kot vemo, stanovanja, ki se oddajajo na Airbnb, ne prinašajo nobene ekonomske koristi mestu.
niti v obliki, še vedno je siva cona kot drugod. Tako da niti v obliki nekega davka, niti bolj direktno, ni zdaj nekega velikega benefita, ki bi ga uživali sami prebivalci.
There is a discussion going on with Airbnb, which they require Airbnb to pay the tourist tax, which is a local tax when people come to Venice, a tourist tax per day, which is, I think is 5 euros per person per day. And to make Airbnb to pay it at the booking.
Seveda niso samo najemniki tisti, ki trpijo posledice tega. Tudi če želite kupiti hišo, stanovanje kot domačin, bo to težka naloga.
The purchase of houses in Venice is just mainly for investment from foreigners, mainly from foreigners or Italians which do not live in Venice, because it's very profitable. They allow, they speak about a rate of profit of 8% net, which on the real estate is a huge profit. We speak about 2 or 3 in other towns. And this, of course, displaces also residents, because many residents sell and they go to live in Mestre or in another town.
Kako je tužna Venecija, divna letnja noć. Kako je tužna Venecija, kada se ruše sni. Bez ruke na ramenu, bez usne na usnama. Duboko u meni vene ljubavi cve. Kako je tužna Venecija, grad moje mladosti, kad ljubav svoju pretačem u bol. Probujalo je sve, nestalo ko dim, usamlje sam brod na moru ljubavi. Kako je tužna Venecija, divna zvezdana noć. Kako je tužna Venecija, kada se ruše sni. Sećanja vrate sne, kao poljupce tople, ali stare pesme više nemaju sjaj. Kako je tužna Venecija, daleko kad si ti, istina ti si ta što boli. Zato idem ja, da zaboravim sve, lako umire srce bez ljubavi. Adio, grade sunca, što te zovu ljubav, tužan odlazim, adio i hvala ti. Kako je tužna Venecija, grad moje mladosti, kako je tužna Venecija, kada se ruše sni.
Spoštovani, še vedno poslušate Terenoskopijo, terensko oddajo aktualno politične redakcije Radija Študent, kjer smo se odpravili prejšnji ta teden, ne?
Ja? Prejšnji petek.
Prejšnji petek, tako. V Benetke in posneli kar nekaj intervjujev za vas. In tako da v prvem delu smo obdelali nekako to stanovansko problematiko povezano s samim turizmom. Zdaj pa se bomo nekako bolj dotaknili tega infrastrukturnega vprašanja v zvezi z velikimi ladjami in tako dalje.
Uh, Velik denarja, ki se ga je včasih namenilo obnovi javnih stanovanj in infrastrukture, se je v zadnjih letih steklo v projekt Moze. Ta projekt traja že nekako od 60-ih let, ko je v Benetkah in Firencah prišlo do ene večjih poplav. In takrat so se mestne oblasti in tudi državne oblasti v Italiji odločile, da bojo pač v Benetkah ukrepale. Moze, kot so si jih zamislili, so neki taki plastični protipoplavni zidovi ali arkade, plastični so. In nekakim do danes ni uspel, da bi ta projekt zafunkcioniral. Zgradnjo so začeli sicer v letu 2003, v vsem tem času se je v projekt izteklo okoli 6 milijard evrov. Ogromno je bilo korupcije, kot v vsakem takem velikem projektu. Nekateri politiki so celo pristali v zaporu.
We need facilities to renovate our houses. We had these facilities before the construction of the Mose. When the Mose was constructed, all the public money was absorbed by this big enterprise, big construction. And the public money before that was allowed to house owner to renovate their houses.
Če so te moze, zakaj bile dobre, bili dobri, to je bilo, da je razkrilo to korupcijo, ki je potekla na najvišji ravni. Gre za državni projekt, vendar so v te korupcijske afere bili upleteni številni občinski politiki. Tako. In ja, v nasprotovanju tega projekta se je potem oblikovalo gibanje No Moze, in ki je kasneje preraslo v gibanje No Grandi Navi, ki je danes dosti bolj prisotno tudi fizično obhoji skozi Benetke veliko plakatov No Grandi Navi. No Grandi Navi pomeni ne velikim ladjam, se pravi ne nekim tem križarkam, ki znova in znova vsak dan pripeljajo na tisoče prebivalcev v sam center turistov. Turistov v sam center Benetk.
No Grandi Navi movement is directly connected with the No Mose movement that was before against the Mose. The Mose, which are the barriers preventing the floods from coming into Venice, which was subject of a big scandal for bribery and waste of money, and it's still not finished.
Gibanje si zavzema predvsem za vzpostavitev dveh različnih pristanišč. Eno naj bi bilo za velike ladje izven mesta, eno pa v mestu za manjše ladje, ker zdaj je problematično predvsem to, da te ogromne križarke vozijo direktno čez kanal mimo San Marka, kar je problematično za laguno in tako dalje.
We aim at having a port for large ships outside the lagoon, just before entering the lagoon, and a port in town for small ships, which means 40,000 gross weight tons. The first aspect is the risk, of course, I mean, that they come in Stazione Marittima, which is behind the center of Venice, so they cross the Venice, no? And they go behind to move in Stazione Marittima. So this is the first problem, and there is some risk of accidents during the transit.
Torej, so še, seveda še številni drugi aspekti, ki nam jih je predstavil profesor Tatara. Gre seveda za izpodrivanje vode, ki se mogoče ne sliši tako grozno, ampak v majhnem kraju in otoku, kot so Benetke, ima to velik vpliv na same temelje hiše in pa seveda onesnaževanje, ki pride s temi velikimi križarkami.
The big ship, they go in a canal, they move the water, and they press the water against the foundations of houses and of the river, the fundamenta, and this makes damage on the foundation of houses in Venice, which are rather fragile. These are made of wood. These big ships make a lot of pollution, both black carbon and nitrogen, sulfur, and there is some estimate in here about the cost of polluting air pollution, and which is very relevant. This pollution by ships is highly corrosive for monuments, of course, you know, because sulfur transform these white stones into chalk, and this becomes very fragile.
Zadnji problem, ki ga je profesor Tatara izpostavil, je bil predvsem to, da te križarke, ki pridejo ponavadi čez vikende in pride jih kar 6 ali pa 7 naenkrat, spustijo v mesto v bistem času vsaka okoli 6000 turistov, kar pomeni, da naenkrat na en trg pride nek influks 24000 turistov in to ima izredno negativne posledice za samo mesto.
The last problem is that this kind of tourists that big ships bring to Venice is not what is more fruitful and more interesting for the town, because they arrive during the weekends, because big ships arrive on Friday and they leave on Sunday. They discharge, each of them discharge about 4,000 persons all in a go. So we have, 3 weeks ago we had 6 of them. 6 of them means 24,000 persons just invading Venice at the same time, in the same day. People stay 2 or 3 days, you can count on people visiting Venice, going around. If you count on people staying 1 day, you just have people going to Piazza San Marco, which is very crowded, visiting, if the case, the Doral Palace or St. Mark Church, if they can get in, and the living room.
Dejansko pa mesto samo oziroma lokalni prebivalci od teh ogromnih mas turistov, ki prihajajo čez vikende v Benetke, ne profitirajo skor nič, zaradi tega, ker so to turisti, ki ostanejo največ 1 oziroma 2 dni. In ima mesto po študiji, ki jo je izvedel profesor Tatara, škodo s temi turisti. Profesor Tatara je ocenil, da so okoljski stroški in stroški zdravljenja zaradi onesnaževanja tam približno 187 milijonov evrov na leto za mesto. Samo mesto ima pa prihodkov od turizma takega skrižark okoli 122 milijonov. Tako da po njegovi študiji sodeč so dejansko na izgubi s turisti iz križark.
The benefit for cruise companies and for Venice Terminal Passeggeri, which is the society that runs the cruise port, which is a private company. And the cruise port doesn't pay any euro to the local government. It's privately owned, but there are no taxes for disembarking or embarking. Well, there are the port fees, but which pertain to the company.
Torej ta cruise port, to pristanišče za kruzerje, pridela približno 11 milijonov evrov dobička. Svoj delež, ki ga je prej upravljala država, pa je leta nedavno prodala zasebnikom, in kar je najbolj absurdno, kupci tega terminala so ravno firme, ki upravljajo s križarkami, kar je nekako odneslo upanje oziroma vsaj zmanjšalo upanje prebivalcev, da lahko država skozi pritisk inšpektorata in drugih organov mogoče prisili te križarke, da so bolj ekonomske, bolj ekološke.
We have a minister, the Minister of Infrastructure, Mr. Del Rio. Mr. Del Rio has got himself into a dreadful pickle, a big problem, because he has
allowed, and the mayor is involved because he also allowed Venice passenger terminal at the maritime station, which was partially owned by the municipality and partially owned by other people. The municipality needed cash, and so they sold off their part of the passenger terminal. Who was there ready to snap up this opportunity? The cruise owners, the cruise ship owners. Venice passenger terminal is now a totally private company in the hands of the ship owners. And it's now going to be very difficult indeed to tell them what to do and what not to do if they're a private company.
Po dostopnih podatkih, torej ta terminal obvladuje uradno javno podjetje, ampak pač njen delež je tako majhen, da pač de facto tukaj nima vloge. Zdaj, samo ekonomsko stanje, ki je spodbudilo prodajo terminala, gre nekako, če zdaj zadnji ekonomski kriza in od 2008 naprej dalje nekako bil povod za to in primankljaj denarja v občinski in državni blagajni, pa se pač profesor Tatara vleče to nekoliko bolj nazaj, približno 20 let nazaj.
This was a wrong policy which was made 20 years ago about complete liberalization of urban plans in Italy, which could have sense for modern towns, modern buildings, but has no sense for historical towns.
Naše gibanje No Grandi Navi je v koncu julija, malo več kot en mesec nazaj, organiziralo čist prostovoljno nek referendum, na katerem so spraševali lokalno prebivalstvo o tem, če si želijo prisotnost velikih ladij v Benetkah.
Only a matter of a few weeks ago, it was the 18th of July, the committee organized a referendum. Do you want these big ships to be kept out of Venice? And do you want to stop excavation of new canals? And 99% of the people said, yes, we want to keep the ships out of the lagoon and we do not want any more. It was all done by volunteers, and in a matter of only 9 hours, we collected as many votes as Mr. Brugnaro had collected in a political campaign that had lasted 4 months with all of his free barbecues.
Župan Luigi Brunaro, ki ga je v prejšnji izjavi omenila naša sogovorka, je nekako deležen veliko posmeha v mestu Benetk. Kot pove v nadaljevanju, ga radi kličejo Gigi Prosecco in Mr. Dubai.
Our mayor, Mr. Brugnaro, otherwise known as Gigi Prosecco, meaning that Gigi Prosecco, Gigi is a shortened form of his first name, which is Luigi. Prosecco, because he likes drinking. He's also known as Mr. Dubai, because one of his fantastic solutions was to turn the old industrial areas of Marghera, to flatten the land and to build a new Dubai just outside Venice, so that they could have enormous glass and steel skyscrapers.
Gigi Prosecco operira na nek tak zelo specifičen način. Barbara nam je recimo podala primer, ko je v zahvalo svojim voljivcem priredil zaseben ognjemet v času festivala ognjemetov v Benetkah. To pa je naredil s fondom, ki je bil namenjen za obnovo knjižnice v Mestrah.
We have a firework festival called Redentore, which is the last Sunday in July. And people come from out of Venice into Venice to see this wonderful firework display. What did Mr. Brugnaro do? The three local areas which had changed from center-left to center-right had their own personal private firework display. And where did he find the money? He closed the library in Mestre. And so the money that would have been spent on renovating the library went up in fireworks, literally went up in flames and fireworks, thanking those three comune which had changed from center-left to center-right.
Ta isti župan nima masovnega turizma visoko na lestvici svojih prioritet, ampak potem, ko je UNESCO vendarle uvrstil Benetke na seznam ogroženih območij in postavil zahteve za lokalno oblast, se je občina kakopak odzvala na to z uvedbo hashtaga Enjoy Respect Venice.
Last year, last July, the UNESCO threatened to put Venice on the endangered site. Okay, so they pushed the city to make reports and like prepare countermeasures to be able to change what's happening in Venice. Take a decision on the cruise ships, develop strategies to have a better tourism and so on. So the official position of the city that they've been doing this, that they've made a document, and they've been implementing 12 out of these 26 things that they've been listing on the document.
Yeah.
We know now because we were with the chief of tourism 3 days ago. So that's what they say. And they have this campaign going on, the respect...
Hashtag respect, enjoy respect Venice.
Enjoy respect Venice, yeah.
Benečani rešitev te problematike masovnega turizma vidijo v več različnih točkah in kot bomo slišali v nadaljevanju, bi bila prva in ta, za katero se tudi zavzema, da v bistvu Venecija autentika, redistribucija turistov stran od te edine glavne atrakcije, ki bi bil, ne vem, recimo Rialto ali pa San Marco Square.
There are a lot of very attractive areas of Venice which are just unknown to tourists. In some way, tourists have to be encouraged, they have to be informed about other possible itineraries and not just Strada Nuova, Rialto, Mercerie, San Marco. There are lots of other things to see as well. Different tourist routes have to be opened to spread the existing tourists more thinly over the whole of Venice.
Poleg te redistribucije se nekako naša sogovorka tudi osredotoča na težavo, kot ona to izpostavi, da vse več turistov je bolj, kako ne to rečemo?
Revnih.
Torej, turistov, ki pridejo v mesto, živijo, če že prespijo v mestru, se pravi na celini in se potem vsak dan pripeljajo sendviči in z vodami iz trgovin z celine in tam ne zapravijo nič, ne. Tako da naša sogovorka misli, da Benetke takih turistov ne potrebujejo in seveda potem se spet spadamo in se vračamo na vprašanje elitizma.
In some way, I know that Venice is expensive, but it has to become even more expensive. It has to be too expensive to visit.
What does that mean for the residents, though?
Does that mean for residents? What does it mean for residents that we will have high-class tourism? Now, we don't need any more tourists who can only afford to pay 12 euros per night because they don't spend money in Venice. They buy the ham sandwiches at the station in Mestre. They buy their bottle of water that they carry around. And when they arrive here, they don't buy anything at all in Venice. So they don't spend money here.
Naša sogovorka je potem v nadaljevanju izpostavila tudi en vidik več, se pravi, da bi hiše oziroma stanovanja morali oddajati ne turistom, ampak mladim poročenim parom, ker je pač jim cilj povečati populacijo, tako da turisti in neporočeni pari očitno ne pridejo poštev.
There are several problems. One is that empty houses are immediately bought by property developers and turned into hotel holiday flats or apartments. This has to stop. Do houses have to be given or sold at reasonable prices to young married couples who want to live in Venice and repopulate Venice?
Zdaj še en predlog, ki bo v kratkem zelo aktualen, torej oktobra bo zelo aktualen, gre za referendum o odcepitvi oziroma razbitju
ločitvi upravne enote, se pravi, da bi postale staro mesto Benetke samostojna upravna enota, ločena od mesta Mestre, ker imata v bistvu mesti zelo različne potrebe. Mislim, kot so izpostavljali Benečani, so potrebe Benetk povsem specifične, potrebe Mester pa tudi.
Medtem pa večina volivcev je na celini, je v Mestrah in potem takem pač pride njihov interes pred interes Benečanov.
The independence of the two cities, so Mestre and Venice, with two different administration, as it was in the past, could be a very good solution because of the very different problems of the two cities. Mestre is a normal city with streets, cars, so with the problems of probably the 90% of the cities of the world, of Italy, of course. Venice is an extraordinary city with very particular problems. And so it should be administrated by a local government which could concentrate its efforts on the problematic of the lagoon, of the medieval city, of a city with bridges of stone, with traffic of boats, etc. So it's quite obvious that we need a dedicated administration.
Kar ste slišali, je bil glas Karla Beltrameja iz Beneške univerze Ca Foscari in s tem bi tudi zaključili današnjo trenoskopijo.
Z vami so bila Lana in Antun, v Benetkah naj jo je spremljal še Martin. Rada bi se zahvalila še Titu za intervju, tehniciral je pa Nikolaj.
V času medvladja se pojavi kopica morbidnih sindromov. Od nevarnih parazitov,
ljubljanske močvernike,
do klimatskih sprememb in vremenske občutljivosti.
Ker je november, ja, ne.
Se sredstvo ne da nekako prekrati.
Ne da se dela. November, ja.
Pa vse od poškod, posebnosti in lastnine.
In videl bo, kako moja testo žde po gobcu.
Do težav z obtočili in kanalizacijo.
Verjetno ni držal roke gor, da bi vas vprašal ali sme na WC, ampak zato, ker je htel obrazložiti glas.
Terenoskopija. Oddaja, kjer preiskujemo lokalne izbruhe, vnetja, kronične in akutne težave z izbruhi po celem družbenem tkivu.